You're listening to the Branches HB Podcast.
Welcome to this unique Branches Huntington Beach service on giving thanks. And we are having an adventure today, all right? We are on location in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where the Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. I don't know if you can see the ocean behind me. Yeah, that's right. We're going to go a lot of amazing places on this adventure and journey. That's why we couldn't do this live. But no, if we panned over to the left, you'd probably see the Ruby's Diner at the end of the pier there. No, we're in Huntington Beach. But really, I want us to step into the world, the story of the original Thanksgiving. And I don't know if you know this story. A lot of times we celebrate these holidays, we don't really consider the events that actually led up to them. They're really unique. It's an interesting story of God's provision, how in 1621, those religious refugees, those pious Christians, came over with some opportunists seeking, you know, freedom and prosperity here in America on the East Coast, not through the Pacific Ocean, on the Atlantic Ocean. It was an arduous journey for them. I mean, 66 days. That ocean is a little bit more untamed than our ocean here on the West Coast. And not many of them survived that first winter. I mean, a lot of times we picture in our minds these very self-sufficient pilgrims. But not many of them actually were. They weren't building all these amazing log cabins in the early stages. No, during that first winter, a lot of them actually lived on board the Mayflower, which didn't have the finest accommodations. And they went from 102 people to 51 over the course of that first winter. So where's the Thanksgiving celebration in all this? Well, you know, through God's amazing provision, they met a Native American named Tisquantum. And it was an unlikely set of circumstances that led to their salvation, in a sense, because Tisquantum knew English. You see, through a really harrowing set of events about a decade earlier, he was taken by a fisherman who was exploring New England. And that fisherman was extremely greedy because he was not only taking in this haul of fish at the direction of some Native Americans, but he decided he'd capture a few Native Americans in order to bring them back to England. And he did so. He brought back Tisquantum, who we know to be Squanto. And when he was there, he was sold to Spanish monks. Those Spanish monks taught him English and also evangelized to him. And over the course of a decade, he finally was freed and able to board a ship. And we're talking in the 1600s, back to America, North America. And he happened to land here in 1619, just a couple years before these pilgrims came over. So they ran into him and were amazed to find that he knew English. And not only that, he was helpful to them. He taught them how to cultivate corn. He taught them how to navigate this untamed wilderness in Massachusetts. He taught them how to fish. And really, he was to them a literal form of salvation physically. And so after they had their first successful harvest of corn, that's when they got together with Squanto and a tribe of Native Americans that he had brokered a peace deal with between the peoples and the Native Americans. And they had this 3-day feast where they celebrated together this harvest, but really they thanked God for the provision that he brought. And I mean, it sounds like a story that's just impossible. How could this even be true? I mean, this is a wild, real story of the first Thanksgiving. But I think what's so remarkable about it is in the midst of tragedy and failure and disaster, those early pilgrims, those early Christians here in America, they could see the hand of God at work through unlikely means. This Native American who was sold into slavery, who was educated and evangelized to by monks in Europe, coming back to actually be to them a literal form of salvation. You know, it reminds me of this verse, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from our Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, this world is filled with shifting shadows. It's filled with disaster at times, and it's filled with dead ends and difficulties. But our Heavenly Father, there's so much evidence in our days, in our experiences, that His provision is there. He is working out His plans. He is carrying us along. And that's what they were celebrating on that first Thanksgiving, that miraculously, through unlikely means, God had brought them through because He is consistent. He doesn't change like those shifting shadows. No, He brings us every good and perfect gift. That salvation that came to them in the form of this Native American guiding them in these ways, through these crazy circumstances in Europe, they understood that that wasn't just chance, that that was really God at work. And so that first Thanksgiving, it wasn't just a day of giving thanks, it was a day of worship. So as we approach this day that's coming up this week that we celebrate together, let us consider, amidst all the shifting shadows and shapes of the times in which we live, that our perfect Heavenly Father is the source of every perfect and good gift that we've received. And He's going to be consistent in all the days to come. Let's make this a day offered as worship unto Him. Most of us probably have some memories of Thanksgiving celebrations where everyone's gathered around the table and everyone who's gathered takes a turn saying something they're thankful for. I don't know if that was one of your traditions, you know. We're thankful for, you know, someone's job. We're thankful for the weather that day. You know, one of the classic ones that kids can always use, it always gets an awe, you know, from the parents is, oh, I'm thankful for my family. You know, that's kind of that's the one that works every single year. If you don't know what to be thankful for, that's a crowd pleaser. But when we're doing that, when we're giving thanks, we're implying that we're the recipient of a gift. You know, instinctively, that's what happens. When someone gives you a gift, that's the context of saying thanks. We don't thank ourselves when we do things for ourselves. You know, if I go out and I buy a new pair of pants or something, I don't walk away from the experience and say, oh, thank you, Andrew, you know, and give myself a pat on the back. No, if I'm thanking someone, I'm thanking someone. I'm acknowledging that there's a gift that I've been given. And I think there's sort of this instinctive evidence that worship should be a natural part of Thanksgiving, even if people aren't believers in the fact that they are thanking someone for these greater realities that they're experiencing. They're not localizing it with themselves. They're not saying, oh, it's me that's brought this blessing this year. It's not just happenstance. It's not just chance. No, I think that's an instinctive desire to worship. Now, we Christians, as we approach a day like Thanksgiving, we localize that thanks because it is a day of worship and we acknowledge it. We say that, you know, these blessings that we've received, these things that we're thankful for, they have a source in our Heavenly Father. They come from above, every good and perfect gift, like we talked about in James chapter 1. And so we're taking time to praise God in these specific acts of thanks. That is the vehicle through which we're worshiping. It is praise to give Him thanks. So I want to encourage you in this Thanksgiving that's coming upon us, whether you're gathered with others and you're sharing in this exercise around a table, or you're simply in the presence of God alone, that you would take time to give thanks and really to give praise to God in two ways. One, would we be thankful for those things that are overtly good, those things that are natural to give thanks for, that maybe you did in the past, in these past traditions, you know, to have been able to pay the bills this last year. That's something you may give thanks for. That's an overtly good thing. It's obvious that it's good. You know, maybe to be reunited with loved ones that you haven't seen in a long time. That's an overtly good thing that you can give thanks for, that you can praise God for. Maybe you're cancer-free for the first time this year and you're celebrating that. Let's acknowledge God in our thanks and let's give Him praise for those good and beneficial things. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in light of Ephesians chapter 5, we should keep in mind that this day that's coming up, it's not a day for us to indulge in food and drink more than we would normally indulge ourselves already here in America, but that we would make this a day of indulging in the praise of God for those things that are beneficial and good. But I want to challenge us along the lines of what it says in that passage. It says, give thanks to God in everything, in everything. And that means that we should be able to give thanks even in some things that on the outside, you know, superficially as we look at it, we may interpret those things as negative. And, you know, this has been a difficult year. There's been so many challenges that we've faced, many of which, you know, we didn't ask for, we didn't expect. But is there any way in which God's redemptive goodness has been evidenced in some of those hard things that we've experienced? That's what I want you to consider. Not just giving thanks for those things that are clearly good, but those things that maybe have been difficult, but in the midst of it, we've seen God at work, you know, to teach us something, to shape us in a particular way, to mature us, to enliven the value of something that maybe we never considered before. You know, right now I'm on the grounds of the senior center where we would typically gather for our morning services, and I have just despised the fact that we can't gather together regularly in this setting. But at the same time, in the midst of those challenging circumstances, I saw the gift of being able to relate to you, my brothers and sisters, in a unique way. I loved writing the daily devotional. I loved our prayer and worship live streams on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We never would have done any of that had we not been kept from meeting in this space. And I'm certain, and I look forward to the day that we're regathering in this space with a newfound value for our togetherness. You know, those are all things that come as a result of God's redemptive goodness. How he's at work, even in the midst of challenging things, like we talked about in the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3. He says, look, there's no food. There's no sheep in the pen. You know, there's nothing good to speak of in my circumstances, and yet I will rejoice. I will take joy in God, my Savior. We need to tap into that same capacity to give thanks with that same empowerment that can come by the Holy Spirit and through our faith in this day of worship. So again, I'd like you to consider, what are those challenging things? What are those difficult things? What are those hard things that I've experienced? But on top of that, where has God been at work in the midst of it? Where can I give thanks for the things that God has taught me or enlivened or shown me? Because that's the true power of our praise in this day, is not just when everything is going good, but when we can see God at work even in those things that are challenging. Join me in committing this as a day not only of worship, but that our worship would come through the vehicle of our thanksgiving and praise to God.
Welcome to this rare glimpse into the Shea family household. You're in my living room, and I am where I will be for probably 95% of my Thanksgiving festivities. From morning to evening, awake for the meal, asleep after the meal, I'll probably be right here. And maybe your Thanksgiving is going to look a little bit like mine. Mine's going to be loud and rambunctious. There's going to be a lot of people gathered together. And maybe your experience will be the same. Maybe your experience is going to be very different. Maybe you're going to be missing those that you would normally gather with. Maybe your day is going to look a bit more quiet than you'd like, than you'd prefer. And I want to remind you, and I want us all to remember, that God is with us. He's with us in the midst of a hearty and loud, rambunctious family celebration. And he's also with us even when it's just us alone, acknowledging him quietly in his presence. He's not just with us in the present. As we've been talking about offering Thanksgiving as a day of worship and considering all the ways that we can praise him and the things that are good or in the things that have even appeared to be negative, that's an acknowledgement that God has always been with us. You know, that means Thanksgiving to me is a day of rest. Because as we consider God in the present with us, and as we consider how he's been faithful to us in the past, that reminds us to trust him for the future. When we trust God with the future, to me, that is the definition of rest. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" He says in verse 33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God tends to all living creatures. That's what it says here in Matthew chapter 6. And he tends to our needs as well. You know, he knows everything about us. He knows about the day we were born. He knows the day that we'll go to be with him. He knows every single day in between. He knew what we would encounter in this last year, and he knows what's to come in the year that's awaiting us. He has promised to care for us because he considers you and I to be valuable and treasured in Jesus. That's what's affirmed in that Matthew 6 passage. And to me, again, that's the definition of rest, to know that my Father in heaven values and treasures me and treasures you. So as we look to the future, I want us to suspend our worry. You know, worrying doesn't change anything. Worrying isn't going to change our world. Worrying isn't going to change our life. Worrying isn't going to add to our longevity. But the opposite, trusting in God through this recollection of praise for things that we're thankful for and the difficult and the good, looking ahead with that same faith and entering into that posture of trust, that does actually change everything. That gives us the calmness of spirit to be able to do the thing that Jesus told us to do in verse 33, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then know that whatever we're thinking about for the future in this year to come, everything that we require is going to be added unto us. So join with me in suspending your worries on this day of Thanksgiving. Sometimes we have to get ourselves in line. We have to talk to ourselves and, you know, tell ourselves in our hearts that they have permission to rest, permission to trust God instead of being anxious about the future. Commit with me that we're going to make this day not just a day of worship through the vehicle of our thanksgiving and praise and the good and the bad, but that ultimately it's going to be a day where we look ahead to the future in a posture of quiet trust and rest that the Lord will care for us as he promised to.
Thanks so much for listening to the Branches HB podcast. For more information on Branches, you can visit our website at brancheshb.com or stay up to date with us on Instagram at brancheshb. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.